Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Paul, really, a chapter separation here, is, I think, in the wrong place. And it just shows you that the chapter separations and the numbering system are not inspired. Because Paul's really continuing here with his admonition on and using kingdom government as an illustration. He continues, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now here, as we discuss with all kingdom government, as I brought up the illustration of Daniel and the three children, those three Hebrew young men who obeyed their master when the master required them to break God's law. And I believe that the caveat that Paul adds here, "Children, obey your parents," with the caveat, "in the Lord, for this is right," he says. That is there for perhaps for adults, because to give them a little discretion as to whether their parents are overstepping their kingdom, family, government authority, because parents can ask something of their adult children. And adult children don't always have to obey, but I believe that there is a required obedience up to a point. And so the Heavenly Father there adds the caveat for children to obey their parents in the Lord. So a little discretion there. And of course, if your parent, regardless of your age, if you're old enough to discern that your parent is asking you to do something that is unlawful or requiring you to participate in something that is not right, then you should refuse, perhaps, maybe even flee, depending upon the circumstance. It's hard for younger children that can be manipulated by their parents, but as children get older, they can take more control. They can flee if they need to, or if their parents are overbearing when they're have their own household, their parents try to come in and run their household. Now that they're married, they're overstepping their bounds, and it's not in the Lord, and of course, in His kingdom government and principles that we have here in the Scripture. But we should obey our parents in as much as it is possible, regardless of our age, with discretion as we get older, for this is right. Honor. And that has a lot to do with honor. Honor can be obedience. I'm not going to say it is obedience. Some people say honor does not mean obedience. Well, honor can be obedience. Again, like I said, with discretion. I would never go into one of my children's household and try to usurp the authority of the head of that household, the father of that household, or the husband of my daughter. I would never do that. That would be overstepping my boundaries. I have to let them even make their own mistakes, as hard as that is, parents, but you have to let them make their own mistakes. And you can advise them, but try not to overstep your boundaries there. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it's the commandment that comes with a promise, that your days may be long on the face of the earth. And you can go back to the Ten Commandments, which is what Paul is referring here to. It's the commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And you know, I've always had a problem with this. Provoke not your children to wrath. And what does that mean? And I think that may be a little problem here with the translation, or with our understanding of the translation, because we're going back to a translation that is, you know, 400 or 500 years old. This portion of the scripture has never been updated, and perhaps it makes a little more sense to me. And you fathers, provoke not your children with wrath, because you know you get angry, and we all do that. It makes a lot more sense to me because, you know, of the anger thing. You can't use anger to provoke your children to do the right thing. It doesn't work. And I believe that that's more fitting here. And it works both ways. Don't provoke your children to wrath because you don't want them to be angry at you. So it goes that way. Don't use anger and you won't get anger back. You know, we're not to use anger as a motivational force in the lives of our children. And I think that's what I get from this. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that means living it, teaching it, and living it. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. You know, don't just do it to be seen. You know, just don't act right when the master or the boss is around. You know, act right and do the right thing even when he's not around. That's what Paul's getting here. Because a lot of people, they just, you know, they only want to be seen doing right and then they slack off or even backbite or talk behind their bosses or their master's back. But again, if your master, your boss, or whatever requires you to do something that breaks God's law, then it's time to sever the relationship and say no, no matter what the consequences, because you have a higher master in heaven. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Paul continues with his admonition to the masters now, or the bosses. And you masters, do the same thing unto them. Forbearing, threatening. That means don't threaten. You're going to lose your job. Whatever. Forbearing, threatening. That means do not threaten. And we can apply that to children too. I believe that has a lot to do with the anger. Anger is very threatening to children. You know, not using anger or threats as a motivational force. The same type of thing here. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. He doesn't think you're better because you're the boss, in other words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own power, not in the power of the things this life has to offer, not in the might of your flesh, not because you're bigger than someone else, or you have more money, or you're able to hire more lawyers, or whatever, in his power, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I could translate that in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. There are spiritual forces at work. Certainly, my enemy and his minions, his demons that hate me and want to destroy me and destroy the work I'm doing. They want to carry me away. They want to make me fall back into sin and forget the life that I have in Christ. Raising up enemies against me to tempt me. Doing terrible things against me. And I have to remember that it isn't the flesh and blood that I see that's coming against me. And it isn't the powers of this world that they're using against me. There are spiritual forces at work here. And many of these people that are coming against me are dupes. They're being duped by spiritual forces, by demonic activity. And they're falling for the temptation. Like I said, many of the conflicts that come with life, with just helping people out, taking chances with people, conflicts arise. But what do we do in the conflict? Do we lie? Do we cheat? Do we get greedy? Do we try to destroy others and murder them using the weapons of this world? Legal tactics, CPS, whatever we can, the IRS, calling all of the dogs of the world on those that we hate unjustly? Or do we try to make peace? Or do we just say, it's fine, let's move on. You be live at peace and I'll live in peace. Nobody's been harmed here. Let's move on, and I don't want to harm anybody. And even better than that, reconciliation, if possible. But sometimes people are so controlled and so blinded by the spiritual forces at work in their life that they can't let go of their hatred and their anger and their greed. And it's a very sad situation. it can be. So, take on the whole armor of God. Chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, because without the truth, you can't stand. If you're holding on to lies and covetousness, you can't stand. The breastplate of righteousness. If you're greedy for gain, if you sacrificed everything for your career and including your family, you don't have this armor of God. If you're not living your life with one object, to please Him, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you're naked. You have no armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Look for the truth in everything, and be willing to admit when you're wrong and repent. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, is what you're doing, is it right in His sight? If you're not doing righteousness, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone about your faith? Are you willing to share it? Is it important to you to bring people into His kingdom where true peace exists? Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why I said it's number one. It consumes you, the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and the gospel of peace. It becomes a motivating force of your life above everything else. Everything else is secondary. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know what faith is to me? It's faithfulness. It's believing God's word and living my life accordingly. And that, to me, that even means obeying the dietary laws, because I believe God's word. I believe He gave me that law for my own good. I believe that I will be healthier and happier, and my children will be healthier and happier because I love them. I keep His commandments. Not to mention all of the commandments. That's faith to me. I will do what He says because I believe that's the best thing for my life. To me, that's faith. It's faithfulness to the things that He has commanded. Faithfulness to the commandments, His law that He's written in my mind and upon the table of my heart, that I might not sin against Him. That's what faith is all about. It's a belief that brings forth works. Good works. James said it. Faith without works is dead. So if you don't have the works, then you don't really have the faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yes, I can take it all. Because I know. I believe in the promises of God. And I'm living a life that is faithful to His word. To the best of my ability. And it is in the forefront of my mind every day, frontlets between my eyes, a lamp to my path. That's what His word is, and that's what I have faith in. Take, He continues, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. Man, don't let go of that helmet of salvation. That is the circumspect view, knowing that it's only through Him, only through putting Him in His kingdom first in our lives, that we can endure to the end, because those that endure till the end shall be saved. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Get it in your heart, where the Holy Spirit can draw it out and answer every challenge that life has to offer is answered by the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. An attitude of prayer. In every circumstance of life, praying always. An attitude of communion with the Heavenly Father. All of your thoughts to Him. Every word you say He hears it. He's part of the communion that you're having with everyone around you. Sometimes that thought can be a little disconcerting, especially when we react. And we all do it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And to supplicate means to humble yourself in your prayers. To humbly ask for what you need. Prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, and again, supplication for all the saints, humbly praying for all the saints. You know, that kind of goes against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, where you have a hierarchical government in the church, where you have, you know, as the heathen do in their government, supplication for all the saints. And no, there aren't special saints that you pray to. We are all saints, called saints. And we've discussed that. I forget what verse that is where it says called, and the authorized updaters called to be saints. But they added the to be there, but called saints. We are called saints to be. We are sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God when we were baptized. In His Holy Spirit, we receive that newness of life. We are called saints. Sacred. That's right. The temple of the living God. Stones in the building of His kingdom. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul's continuing saying, pray for me, all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, I'll take that one. You know, while you're out there praying for all the saints, pray for me that I, and, you know, with Paul, Paul's not here anymore, but I am, to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I hope you're getting it, people. The mystery of the kingdom of God. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and if you don't understand it, just pray, Heavenly Father, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Help me to understand the mystery, the hidden things of the gospel. And you could start by watching that video on my website, crosstheborder.org. I think if you open your eyes and pray, that God will show you something through that video that you didn't understand before. The mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the gospel. Paul continues, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he's sending this letter with this brother Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahushua, in the Hebrew, our Messiah. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And I say amen. And thus we end the epistle by Paul to the Ephesians. You've been listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org, and you'll find many studies in the scripture there. And I suggest that everyone go there and perhaps start with Genesis, or maybe one of the Gospels. Perhaps start with Matthew is one of my favorite, and then move on to Acts so you can see the progression of the church. Matthew, of course, written by a Hebrew and one of the 12 apostles of Israel, and of course Luke written by a Greek and another nation called a Gentile, who joins Paul in his troop, and we discovered that going through the book of Acts. But that's a good place to start. Pick one of the Gospels. If you like Luke, well, pick the Gospel of Luke, and you can have the same author after you read Luke, and then read Acts, and then after you read Acts, just continue reading all of the epistles. Romans, Corinthians, that's what I would suggest. Pick a gospel, perhaps Matthew or Acts, and then after you read Acts, just keep reading to the end of the book. And you may not understand Revelation, but our Heavenly Father wrote in it that there's a blessing for those that read. He didn't say that those who read and understand will be blessed. He said there's a blessing for those that read. So read, even without understanding, God will bless you with some of, He'll give you things that you will understand or minister to you in that word. And then after you read the entire New Testament, go back to the beginning of the book and start reading in Genesis. And then read the whole book, or just let the Holy Spirit lead you, you know. Just some suggestions from me. But it's all there if you need a little help. It helps some people to go through the Gospels and go through my studies as they study the Scripture. Download them to your iPod and take them to work. And then make notes. Just go through and look the things up. And make sure, check me out. And double check, you know, for clarification on things. Or email me if you got a question about something I say in a study. I would love to hear from you. That's why I'm here. Well, that's all we have time for today. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, praise Him and bless His holy name. Hallelujah.